Hello and welcome to Pixelated Realms Gamescast, your guide through the digital landscape, untangling the mysteries of your favorite titles and discussing the latest and greatest in video game fun. I'm your host, Alex Salerno, and alongside me is my brother Tyler and my good friend Dustin. How are you guys doing?
What up?
Hello, hello. Happy day to you all.
Yeah. Whatever you're listening.
It is a day, isn't it? It's a day.
It is.
It's a day. Nothing particularly like fun happened over the week. But we do have a few things to talk about. So, Battlefront 2, total disaster. Yep. Absolutely.
That's
came
unfortunate,
out.
Man.
And it's
Battlefront
sucks,
2,
so we'll talk
classic,
about that.
Classic. Okay, the old one. I worked on Star Wars Battlefront 2 and it got a lot of hate, but the game's fucking awesome. This one sucks. So,
it's
all of you
game.
People
let's,
who really wanted
let's
this to relaunch.
Let's talk about that for a minute here, because I think it's a great, it's a good, no, I'm not going to debate it. I'm actually going to support it. So it's funny because obviously I played Battlefront. We're talking about Star Wars Battlefront 2, the classic version that was on the PlayStation 2 and Xbox 360. I said kind of confidently.
yeah, I think so.
I'm pretty sure those were the systems. Anyway, really great game if you haven't played it. It was like a landmark Battlefront game and definitely one of the best Star Wars games ever made. And so was it a remaster? Did they call it a
It was like a reskin. Like they HD skins and everything like that made it a little bit.
So they released the reskin, and how much was it? Do we know? $40?
It was $35.
Okay, so
around there.
It's been a bit of a mess for them. Do we have a list of like what was going wrong? I personally
it
didn't buy it because I kind of was expecting it.
Multiplayer servers.
So from what I've heard, it's like the single player experience is fine. It's the online multiplayer experience that they've like completely botched. And people are like, it's unplayable unless you're playing it solo. Yeah.
Great story, but.
I know. Well, they had, they literally had three 64-man servers. Three.
When thousands of people, I'm sure, were playing the game.
Yeah, exactly. But they thought they were going to have like 180 people like play the game.
That's ridiculous.
They were like, that was it. We're done. I don't know. I mean, they added some afterwards, but that had to be some major oversight. Like, I wonder if that was just one of those things. Like, hey, I thought you did it.
Wow.
Like, what
that
the
would
heck?
Be a big, like, F up.
Yeah.
It doesn't even seem possible, honestly, that you could launch without.
Like, something big went wrong. Regardless, like, I'm resigned to just waiting and letting them fix it, and maybe I'll pick it up later. But I do want to say that the what are we calling it? Battlefront 2 2018 edition.
The modern version.
The modern version. If you haven't played it, it was a really, really rough launch. That game was really rough at launch, man. There's like a lot of reasons. But if you go and play it today, I promise you it's like a completely different game. And it's like incredibly fun. People, mm-hmm. It's still very active. People play all the time. So
yeah, it's thriving.
That's my pitch.
It's a thriving game. You know, as someone like, again, I worked on that game and it got like tons of shit for multiple reasons. Like there was the sense of accomplishment like thing in the AMA with the dev around
the Darth
like, how
Vader
much,
like
yes,
8,000 hours thing. Yeah.
Like, to be able to play the heroes in a map. And then there was loot boxes in it initially that were like kind of a little pay to win. But those were
during the time.
Yeah, those were removed before launch actually happened. Yeah. Those were available in the beta, but it just caused like so much negative sentiment around the game at launch that it was really difficult. It also had some launch issues. But yeah, I mean, credit to EA. Like I worked with EA for a long time, so I'm a little biased, but there's a lot of great people that work there. And but credit to the dev team there at DICE who just like kept banging away at
they
that
did.
Game because, yeah, dude, like, greatest comeback story really never told. Like a game, like fucking amazing game. It's still very active.
Yeah,
it is a great game. And I think it's still one of the most like beautiful games that we have right now. Like the graphics are just so good. I remember when I was playing the demo the first time and I was just like, you know, people can complain about the lack of content or whatever it was, you know, but damn, it looks
gorgeous.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah. it really was. And I find that to be more common nowadays, though, where I find myself saying, like, well, you know, it's a damn gorgeous game, but like, I'm not really enjoying it, you know, but mm-hmm. like in that case, like, they really did put in the effort, and like, it took years and years, but like, when I revisited it, I was like, wow, this is like totally different. So I got to give them mad props for that.
Yeah. I remember, like, the thing I didn't like about that one is there was no single player, like, really mode at all. And I was, that was before that was common.
That's the one with, you play as the like special forces trooper who then goes on to the rebels. Yeah, I really like the story in that one.
Later, did it have?
Which it's one the I one did with about? Janina Gavin Carr. She's the main character.
You're thinking of Battlefront, the first one.
Oh, did maybe not the have first
single
one.
Player. Yeah, the okay. first one did not. Yeah, the second one did, and it was really good. I forget the name of that storyline, okay. but it involved Luke. It involved like main characters. Mm-hmm. So. I actually okay. really enjoyed that.
I retract my statement then. Does the new one have Galactic Conquest? Because I think everybody knows that's the best mode.
No, it's basically it does
not. It's basically what like Helldivers is yeah. took and made an like a live service game of, which I think is why it works so well and why everybody likes Helldivers. And I would argue that people don't even realize they like it so much is because they might have a little bit of nostalgia for that Galactic Conquest mode in Star Wars Battlefront back in the day. And they're like, it's like rekindling their love for that kind of mode. Cause if you put them side to side, they're like pretty much the same, you know?
I know. One's single player though, and one's like a multiplayer experience.
Well, you could play local co-op, Galactic Conquest.
Oh, local. Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. Galactic Conquest to me, so for anyone unfamiliar, this is in the classic version of Battlefront 2, Galactic Conquest, instead of, say, just doing like a one-off battle, you could go like planet to planet and have like a grander battle scheme.
Mm-hmm. You'd push and pull.
But you'd have to go in and physically be the troop like you were playing the game and win the battle. But it had, to me, it always had like an RTS kind of feeling or like a 4X game kind of feeling, like that like grand strategy turn-based almost thing, but then you dive in and play the character, you know, too. So very fun mode for sure.
And you do like, I remember like the space battles were so cool because you could fly into the other ship, you could get out and you could like destroy something to fly back out. My friend Greg, you know, our friend Greg, who I know listens to the show regularly, so he's gonna get a kick out of this.
Hi, Greg.
Me and him have, even still to this day, we have a classic Battlefront 2 Galactic Conquest game going that we have been playing for literally over a decade. And the reason why it's not done is because I have control of, like, it's like on his PlayStation at his house or something or whatever. And I have control of 90% of the planets, but this one planet is so bugged or something, or just so tough. So he's so fortified on this one planet that I literally, no matter what I do, I cannot take this final, and it's like this little asteroid planet, and I just cannot get it. And I'm sure he's laughing his ass off right now because I've been trying to win that stupid planet forever, and now I kind of want to get the new remake just so we can relive
just
this.
To do it again.
Yeah,
restart the war.
Exactly.
That's
we
funny.
finally be, you know, finish our campaign.
Gotta love
like, reminds
gotta,
me of my I mean, dad growing up, and he would always be like, yeah, me and my friends, we used to play like Risk, and it would take like 5 days, and we would just like leave the board and we'd all come back the next day, and it's like, it's long games. I'm like, oh, that's cool, Dad.
Speaking of long games, I got myself into Warhammer a little bit, and although that specifically the miniature tabletop game is not a video game as relates to this podcast, I have been diving into some of the Warhammer games, which I would like to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, just to set the framing here, a lot of the things we talk about on this podcast are things we've loved for years and like participated in for a long time, like StarCraft and, you know, Blizzard games or Elder Scroll games or you name it, right? Warhammer is actually something, like, for the most part, like, we've never touched. I don't know about Dustin, but I know Alex and I really don't have, like, we never grew up playing Warhammer, and I just kind of got into it on a whim, and been exploring the universe, and it's a very interesting world to explore. And I mean, the first thing I gotta say is like, I'm pretty sure, like, everyone ripped off Warhammer 40K because, like, the StarCraft storyline, like, and the 40K storyline are super, super similar. So it's funny how, like, you see all that, like, coming through. But I've been playing a few of the games, and I know I talked about a couple of them in the past. So I've been playing Darktide, which is a Xbox Pass available game. It's like very similar to Warhammer Vermintide, if any of our viewers have played that. Very fun game. You just play like as a character, and you jump in and out of missions as with multiplayer, people. And, you know, it's just cool to see the world brought to life. And like, if you don't know the lore, it's probably pretty confusing and chaotic, but it's still a fun game. But when you do know the lore, it's like, wow, they're like, this is like kind of amazing that they like created this, you know, beautiful like rendition of this world for us to play. But the one that I've actually been dumping the most time into is I picked up Warhammer 40K Rogue Trader. Mm-hmm. And that was actually a recent release. I want to say it was within the year, but I want to check that. Yeah, it was. It was December of 2023. So it's really just a couple months old.
Wow.
It is a CRPG. So Baldur's Gate style, for anyone who doesn't know that term. And you play as a rogue trader, which in the Warhammer 40K universe is basically someone who's given the authority by the Emperor of Man, basically God in this case, to go around the universe and progress human evolution and, you know, achievement in whatever way they see fit. You know, that could be killing heretics, or that could be like trading stuff. And it actually is like really an incredible CRPG. The like diversity of like the different things you can do with your characters and like the lore into the 40K universe, like it's just super cool. Like you're just this like really powerful trader. Really, you're like a warlord who's just going around the universe and kind of just like trading, collecting, and murdering people, and there's a lot of like really cool like timing interactions and like dialogue choices that like really affect the game. So like, you know, I was in space and we're investigating something, and it was like, well, you could spend some extra time here to investigate it more and like benefit this way. And I was like, okay, I'll spend some extra time. I did it, and then I arrive on the planet and I jump into this rebellion that's happening on this planet, and they're like, you know, you walk up to all these corpses of citizens all dead, and it's like, if you would have been faster to this planet, like, they would have lived. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like,
they got you.
The consequences of my actions. So and the Warhammer 40K universe is what they call like a grim dark setting, so it's like all about like just like the worst parts of life and humanity and war and torture and killing. And like, it's a place you would never want to live. I'll tell you that. But it's an interesting setting for a CRPG.
Yeah. You definitely never want to live in it, but it's interesting to watch. I've played Darktide. I actually really liked that game. I ended up stopped playing just because I was like, nobody played with me. And so I was just doing pickup games. I had a pretty high level character for a while when that came out. That game is actually really fun. And it's another one of those games that's like really gorgeous. I want to say it's like an Unreal game. It must be, because it's just like such a beautiful looking game. And the world that they built is so cool and complicated. It takes place on an Earth planet. I don't know which one. I'm sorry, a human planet.
There's so many planets. They call Earth Terra in the Warhammer 40K universe. Mm-hmm. But like, they're galaxy civilizations. Like it's not limited to
right
to like a solar system.
I mean, Warhammer has their game division, or I guess partnering with game studios, like they go crazy. Like I didn't realize how many Warhammer games there are. There's tons and tons of Warhammer games, and they're making more all the time, and it's going to get even more popular because Henry Cavill, of course, is making a show about it, and so that's just going to skyrocket this thing up to the next level. It's already been gaining a lot of popularity, but it's going to take a huge jump.
Well, it seems like they're just keep scaling it up and up. So like, there's been Warhammer games for a long time. I mean, one of the most popular is this one called Dawn of War. It's a old, mm-hmm. it's like a, I would say it's a early 2000s RTS, I believe. And it's really fun. I love RTSs. So, like, I was having fun going and playing it. But, like, now we see Darktide came out recently. We saw Rogue Trader come out recently. Like, they're clearly still investing a lot into their games division. There was also this one called, it's called Bolter Gun. Let me see here. I know this one. It's like a Doom replica. It's a, I don't even know what you would call it. You know, they took the Doom formula and like applied it to like a new school, you know, style. Of course, my thing won't load right now. So, but yeah, they're really like actively making a lot of these games. So maybe it's a good time to get into the Warhammer sphere and start enjoying it and learning it. I'm such a sucker for lore. Like, I eat it up. Yeah. So,
I mean, that one's fun because like I love the like the orcs, and you know, you were telling me this isn't exactly true, but the rumor is right that if they believe something to be true, then it is true. Like, if they believe they're invulnerable, then they become invulnerable, kind of a thing.
It's kind of like this, like, so there's a lot of things in the Warhammer universe that like aren't fact, but they're kind of given by unreliable narrators, and like so from the appearance of the humans, they might say like the orcs just think that they can make a tank, and they make a tank. And, like, it really comes from the fact that these orcs just, like, have a genetic disposition of creating...
Like, genetic memory?
They have, like, genetic memory of how to engineer. So, like, they don't need to know how to build a plane. It's just, like, bred into their genetics. And so they take scrap and create this crazy plane that no human could ever understand how it works. And so, like, little things like that is what you kind of find to be really fun about the universe. And the orcs are a particularly funny faction because they're just like really silly, you know, they're really silly. There's like this group of orc outcasts that just decided to become pirates. Like, and I was like, oh, that's got to be the one I collect. So I've been trying to hunt some of them down. And so,
nice.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff happening.
Cool. Well, on an unrelated note, but nonetheless important, the Steam Spring Sale has just started.
Oh,
and is going till the 21st, which is next Thursday. I'm trying to see if any of the Warhammer games are there. Actually, I wonder if the Battlefront just came out, so I kind of doubt it's... The 2017 one? $5. $5.
They're basically giving that one away for free now.
Yeah. Five whole dollars. That's a good deal.
We got Sea of Thieves on a 50% discount. That's pretty huge.
Oh. DayZ, let's see. New World on here for $15. I haven't heard good things about that yet. So
it was an interesting game. Yeah, I played New World. Yeah, for a while when it was released. It wasn't fully realized then.
Yeah, I know. It was because it was like Amazon, and people are like, "Woo, it's their like first big foray."
It was
also
in development for like fucking ever, dude. Like there was so much. Mm-hmm. Like, by the time it came out, like it just been a really long time. So kind of.
Yeah,
not quite Skull and Bones, probably, but there's, you know, people are like, oh shit, and then yeah, finally came out and I was like, oh yeah, this is actually pretty good. But yeah,
Darktide 35% off, $25.99. Wow. But you get it for free if you have Game Pass, so don't double buy it. Let's see some good ones on here. Hogwarts Legacy 50% off.
Dragon's Dogma 2, guys. I'm so excited for that to come out in 5 days.
Yeah, that's a for sure day one buy for me. I haven't pre-ordered it, and I'm like, I kind of want to, but I also am like, I kind of want to wait like a couple of days afterwards just to see. Just in case. I mean, I fully expect the game to be really good, and I think everybody does, but I've been bit before. You know what I mean? Yeah. I bought the collector's edition of Starfield. That's how much I've been bit.
Yeah, it's like, geez, so man. Silly.
I mean, I don't regret it though because it came with some really cool stuff. So I have like the watch from the game and like all this other cool like paraphernalia, but the game was kind of just okay. So
yeah,
maybe one day they'll Skyrim it, you know, where it's like over like a long time, all of a sudden it's still like
more like No Man's Sky
or No Man's Sky. Yeah,
a full like
No Man's Skyrim.
No Man's Skyrim it.
There you go. But yeah, Dragon's Dogma looks cool. We did talk about that a little bit last time. Have you played the first one?
Yes. So I played the first one, I think like 30 or 40 hours, which if you've ever played that game, you know that's like the first like 10% of the game.
you know, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but still.
Not that much.
When I played the first one, I actually, like, a lot of the mechanics and design features of the game actually, like, really didn't appeal to me. Like, there was a lot of things I liked about it, but there was a lot of things that I felt like were super immersion ruining. Like, you would, it, like, the game has no fear in asking you to run, like, 45 minutes, you know, or just to, like it's, it has no fear in sending you against monsters that, like, are way above your level. Like, it's a game that, like, I would say, like, whatever the opposite of holding your hand is, it does that. And
it kicks you into the fire pit.
And I think, like, a lot of people find that rewarding, and I do too, once I get into it, but, like, that barrier to entry is always there. I also am not a big fan. So you get these things called pawns, and they're in the TV show. They're in the second game, of course. And they're like these, like, angelic nobody NPCs that join you and become your teammates. And as someone who's, like, you know, played a lot of RPGs and has had, like, specific character-driven teammates, the pawns feel really weird to me. And, like, I didn't play the game enough to, like, understand them fully, but, like, it was just kind of like in the first couple hours, they're just like, oh yeah, and there's these magical beings that appear out of nowhere, and they're your teammates. Oh,
just,
okay. They, like, they why just, are like, they here you? Though? Yeah. Like, why are they here? Well, they just magically appear. Okay. So it just feels weird. Like, I'm more used to, like, someone just being like, hey, this is a character who you ran into along the way. Like, it's like God is sending you a pawn, but it just feels like a video game, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel in a video game. So I'm looking forward to Dragon Dogma 2 and to see if how I feel about it.
Yeah, I'm interested in it. I mean, I'm a big Dark Souls player, and I know that this is very much a departure from Dark Souls, but it has a similar vibe to me as far as, like, it's going to be hard. It's kind of a fantasy game, and it's going to have a really good story. So I'm in, and I think this is probably going to be a contender if it nails it, which I don't think there's any reason it won't. Yeah. Right? Like, we haven't had any, like, nothing has shown us that. But I think this could be a contender for Game of the Year with Helldivers. And yeah. I'd be very interested to see. There are a few that are still hanging that could come up and swipe this from it, but I think this will be in the discussion, which makes it very Rebirth's exciting that it's coming out
Game of the Year.
Really? You think so? How much have you played?
None.
Then how do you know?
Just from the sentiment online I've seen. Like, so, like, look, there's a difference for a lot of people between, like, what is, like, actually, like, great, fully realized game, and what is a game that just kind of went, like, really viral and was popular. Like Valheim had no chance of ever winning Game of the Year. Apex Legends had no chance of winning Game of the Year. You know, games, I'm just, like, using examples of other games that have just, like, blown up unexpectedly. Especially from, like, Apex is EA, but still EA didn't have the expectations that it did around that game. And then Valheim was, like, a team of, like, fucking five people. So I'm just saying, like, Helldivers is getting a lot of hype. It's obviously super fun, but is it going to be in the Game of the Year conversation? Like, we'll see. I'll be surprised if it wins.
I would be surprised if it...
Yeah, there's just different criteria,
there's more,
you know?
Stock. Yeah, there's more stock put into, like, franchises, and not only that, but, like, franchises that appeal to the masses, right? Like, Dragon Dogma 2 is not a game that, like, every gamer knows, you know what I mean? Like, even, like, not like Call of Duty, like, almost every human being is gonna know the term Call of Duty, probably, you know, exaggeration once again, but,
well,
either way, like, Dragon's Dogma is definitely a franchise that gets less exposure. It's still popular, but it's less than, like, Final Fantasy Rebirth.
Well, for the Game of the Year conversation, something you have to consider, and I think we're probably mostly specifically talking about the Game Awards, it's all voted by, like, devs or people in the industry. So you actually, people like us who play all the time are the ones that are voting for this, not the casual gamer. So I think you got to take that into account. Like, a couple of years ago, or what, Sekiro won.
Yeah.
So, like, stuff like that.
I loved that game.
You know, like, so I don't think Call of Duty ever won.
Soft game?
No.
Or like it's FromSoft style.
Yeah, it is
right?
a FromSoft game.
It is. It's FromSoft,
and it's FromSoft style.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's still like, you know, like, I don't know.
Right. But that game is so hard. I doubt half the people who voted for it have beaten it. Yeah. But Elden Ring wasn't nearly as difficult. In fact.
Yeah. Sekiro was one of the hardest games I've ever played for sure.
Yeah. I still haven't beaten it. I have it downloaded. I still play it occasionally. And I'm like, maybe now's the chance. And I'll go play it. And I'll be like, nope, that wasn't
it. Yeah. I mean, Game Awards is voted by devs, voted by media. A very small percentage of it is voted by fans. But yeah, I just think
the fan award.
I think that there is fan vote consideration for the for Game of the Year. I just think it's a small percentage of where like the one that's by fans is literally only fan vote. Which becomes a popularity contest, obviously. So yeah, we'll see. I'm not saying Helldivers can't win or can't be nominated, but I think we're more likely to see like a Rebirth or, and who knows, you know, because like we talked about last week, the big rest of the big AAAs, like we don't know what they are because they're going to get announced in May and June and they're going to come out in October, November. So, you know, we might be seeing Ghost of Tsushima 2 out this fucking fall. We might see Dragon Age out this fall. You know, if they announce Dragon Age in May, like EA normally announces big games in May, that game's coming out this year. Or at the latest, maybe top of 2025, but more than likely October, November. There could be some other pretty heavy hitters coming that we just don't even know aren't going to be coming yet.
Yeah, that's very true. And it's always hard to tell this early in the year. I think I don't know about Helldivers like for sure. I would like to think it'll be nominated, but Dragon's Dogma in my mind is going to be for sure one of the top four. Unless we get like a really crazy, you know, reveal that nobody was expecting, but I would be surprised if it wasn't.
Yeah.
Cause you know, like I'm trying to think of it, like Star Wars Outlaws. Honestly, I don't, unless that comes out as a total banger, I don't really see that winning because of like just the style of game it is. And then
just don't know yet. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't know.
Have to play.
I would have voted for Stellar Blade. If I had a vote, I'd vote for Stellar Blade.
I knew that.
I haven't played it yet.
That's such a Dustin game. I saw it and I was like, Dustin's going to love this shit.
I literally left the subreddit because I couldn't take it.
My most anticipated game of April for sure is definitely Stellar Blade. And if nobody knows why, let me just share my screen here for all our viewers.
Audio listeners will describe it.
Okay,
so he's playing the trailer, and the trailer is a girl that's basically nude. So
this is
walking
the new skin.
Up or climbing up a.
Yeah, this is the new skin that just got revealed, right there. And so it's her body skin or something like that. It actually
like bodysuit.
It increases the difficulty of the game if you wear that skin. It just got revealed. So I thought that was pretty funny.
Oh actually, my
I didn't,
god!
I saw this game on her normal skin, and it's also like very revealing. I think the developers were even like, "Well, if you're gonna look at her, you know, why not like put a lot of dedication into making sure it looks good?" You know, and so that was very very Japanese developer mindset.
Very Japanese.
Yeah, they don't give a shit.
Just pretty funny.
Different levels of, yeah.
But it gives me Nier Automata vibes, and that was my favorite game.
It does.
Just in terms of, like art style and a gameplay look. So I actually might pick it up just for that, because I loved Nier a ton.
Mm-hmm.
But
it does look a lot like it.
Character design is definitely not it's a bonus.
A downside.
Yeah, there's no downside.
And no, it looked like a really fun game. Like I was like I said, I was implying, like I followed the subreddit. It looked like a really good like game. But then like all the subreddit is just like it's just demonstrable bullshit.
Just Rule 34 just, took over and it was just out of control.
Basically. But it'd be like they released this one piece of information today and they try to like assume all this shit about the game because of this like sentence someone said, and I'm just like, this is such a waste of time. Just wait for the game to come out. Like Jesus. It wasn't even like the lewd stuff that like really bothered me. It was just the weird like oh, we have to support our game. Bro, you haven't played the game yet. Like, what do you mean your game? Like, you haven't.
I know. Like, are you a developer for it?
I just don't get why people like. Yeah, like people get like really invested in something they know nothing about, really. And like, you watched a trailer. What do you mean your game?
Like, I know.
And it's not even like a sequel to anything, right? So it's like, right. It's not you like you're no like deeply invested in the characters or anything. You're just like, oh.
I'm like, you could be excited, but like, what is causing you to like camp out at night about this?
Like, I know. You know? It's like the main characters banging, dude. They're just like, I don't care.
I guess so.
It's all the Sanjis. They're just a bunch of Sanjis, you know?
Oh, you're all Sanjis out there, man. Can't, you're gonna
nosebleeds, just fucking going crazy.
Yeah, well, since we just kind of like rip-started this episode without doing any of the intro stuff, let me do that real quick. So I guess before we continue, let me just say we really appreciate everybody who follows us. We post new episodes every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on podcast services and YouTube. You can also find us on Instagram, Threads, and YouTube at Pixelated Realms Podcast. If you want to ask us a question or be part of the show, you can leave a comment by going to pixelatedrealms.org/ask. Leave us a comment. Tell us what you want us to talk about. Tell us, you know, whatever. It's an open forum. And we'll talk about it at the end of the show. And I'm pretty sure I have it right here that we have some comments. So we will address those as we go on. Now that we had that kind of natural break, have you guys – we do want to talk about – I want to talk about GTA 6 a little bit. But I also want to talk about Rise of the Ronin, because that's this game that like – speaking of like the Game Awards and like contenders for the Game of the Year, I think this is one that Sony thought was going to fit into that category, but is getting kind of mixed reviews. And so I feel like it's not going to hit as hard as they want to. I think it's still going to come out and be moderately successful, but it doesn't look like any, it doesn't, it's hard to follow in a game like that. That's like coming on the heels of Ghost. That is so similar. And not
it came,
be
it came out quickly too, like, didn't it?
Did it? I don't know. Like
I don't remember hearing about it before the Game Awards, and now it's like coming out. But maybe I was just not in the loop.
Yeah, you know, I don't actually know. But
reviews have been mild.
They've been nobody said it's like a bad game, but nobody's saying it's a great game, right? So they're just saying like it's good. It's good because there's some like podcasters and stuff are getting early reviews in, and so they're kind of giving their opinion, and so it makes it's like, well, if there's no hype around it now, so if the hype is kind of dying, what's going to happen with this game? And I'm kind of curious, because Sony's been, you know, marketing it like they expect it to be this like, you know, really big game.
Yeah,
so I don't know. I mean, you guys have
like the vibes of Ghosts of Tsushima. Yeah, like it so does. Like I think everyone's expectations were set pretty high because of that. So, but I feel like the worst thing, I think what's probably going to happen is people are going to think they're going to play that and then not get that. And thus, a probably pretty good game is going to seem slightly worse than it is. So, like, maybe they kind of have the psychology working against them there, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, are you guys excited for this game at all?
I'm probably not going to pick it up, honestly.
Me neither. Unless it comes out as, and like people are like, no, we were wrong, it's great, which I don't see is happening. It's like Ghost of Tsushima is so good that like I can't imagine playing anything that's like near it, because I'm just gonna compare it to that game the whole time.
Right.
So, and we're just waiting for number two to come out. And the director's cut is coming out this year. So anybody who, you know, kind of hasn't jumped on it can just jump on that instead. And
it still looks amazing, by the way, everyone. The game looks fucking amazing.
Yeah, it does look amazing. I've just, I just don't know yet. And honestly, like, I mean, even Ghost of Tsushima,
Ghost still looks fucking amazing.
Oh, it still looks amazing, yeah. I mean, honestly, when that game came out, I, like, wasn't even, like, it wasn't going to be a must-buy for me until everyone was like, no, this game is, like, crazy good. And I was like, okay, cool, you know? I love the Japanese, like you know, Edo period style stuff, like that's all super amazing, but it just didn't, like, you know, it's one of those games where I feel like you just don't really, like, I don't know, I don't invest into it until someone's told me like, no, you should check this out.
I agree. Thought it was worth talking about, but
is it gonna be free? Like,
we'll see.
Is it gonna be free as part of the PlayStation Plus or whatever?
I don't know.
I doubt it.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
They have their three tiers, so I don't know. I don't know if they do any of their games day of release on their pass. So I don't think that's happened yet. And if it is, and not for any of their like Sony Studio games.
Well, that sucks.
I don't know. I could be. So I also want to talk about.
Shut that dog up!
Tell that baby to stop crying. We had a friend saying that.
Just beat it!
I want to talk about GTA 6. So there's been this like. I know. I hope he's listening because I know he listens. We never forgot. Now I forgot what I was talking about. GTA 6. So there's this article going around that some analyst, some financial video game industry analyst or something, said that Grand Theft Auto 6 is probably going to be the most important release in video game history up until this point of everything.
What a platitude.
I know. What an extreme thing to say. Like, how can you be...
Right. Like, okay, well, Elder Scrolls 6 is going to be the biggest game ever.
Well, the context of... I didn't read the whole article, but the context of it is that, like, the gaming industry actually isn't doing as well as people think, and that, like, the launch of GTA 6 could determine the trajectory of the industry, like, if it bombs versus if it, like, does very well. I do think there is something to be said about the state of games, and because everybody, like, you know, oh my god, games are doing so well, it's like breaking records, blah blah blah, but like, dude, that's like the top 20 games probably eat up like 95% of the revenue for across the industry, right? So like, while they're making billions and billions of dollars, like, those 20 games, what about the other, like, 1,000 games that came out? You know, like, for every one success, there's, like, 5 flops, you know, that didn't make their money
back. Although they make a lot of money, also, it has an incredible operational cost to create, right? Well, I mean, like, above and beyond even a film, right?
Yeah.
And like, there's no fucking way Skull and Bones will ever make the money back that they spent on that game. Like, 8 years impossible. Or something, like, it just... There's probably that game probably costs like easily $500 million to make.
But you know what? Here's my question. So is it that the game industry is not doing as well, or is it we're not growing as fast? Because in business, those are the same things, and it pisses me off.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. It's because they can't maintain their current velocity. And because they're like trying to basically use and abuse the developers of the game, their labor force. And that's why we see like them getting paid less than other developers. That's why we see like all these like unions popping up, all these layoffs are happening that like probably shouldn't be, because these like, you know, big businesses are looking at the numbers.
With less.
Yeah. And they're that's like, all, hey, how can we squeeze every penny out of these people? Because they're very passionate, which means we can pay them less. And they'll work twice as hard. And so
if they don't want to, we'll just find someone else who will.
You know, shit pay is like for devs is that's not new. Like that's forever. I mean,
but that's my point is like, how long can they maintain this velocity before this like bubble pops? Right. Like they're eventually devs are going to be like, you know what? Fuck this. We got to unionize or whatever. All this stuff is going to happen. And what's going to happen is that you're going to see it like it leveling out. And so I think it's going to naturally, you know, as far as growth is concerned, I think it's going to taper back down a little bit, unless, you know, capitalism totally destroys all of our hopes and dreams. And, you know, they just continue to destroy the unions and the, you know, abuse the workforce.
I mean, think about the film industry. I mean, think about how many unions. Everyone has a union in the film industry. So why not in video games? Like,
totally.
It's and that's the thing that kind of drives me nuts is like, wow, we made $5 billion during COVID. And then like 2023 happens and they're like, why didn't we make $5 billion this year? Oh no. You know, and I'm like, dude, what the hell? Yeah. I'm like,
you
why
knew.
Pikachu shocked face? Like,
I know.
Why is this so hard to like think a few years ahead, especially when something like the global pandemic happens? So
well, that's
I don't know.
The problem
it's hard.
Is that they were making a ton of money And then there's like actually a really good GI.biz article about this. We've probably talked about it even. But gaming was blowing up during the pandemic because everyone was staying home and all these companies overhired. They all increased their staff. The Great Resignation was happening. You had all these people who probably didn't have a lot of gaming experience before, maybe none, were easily being able to enter the industry and really grow these companies. Now we're seeing like the interest in games going back to pre-pandemic levels, and these companies are now reducing their staffs back to pre-pandemic levels. I mean, honestly, like, I don't think the amount of layoffs that are happening should be happening, but I do think that we're kind of seeing less of like this massive corporate greed that everyone wants to talk about, and more so like a correction in terms of staffing and in the market based on like mm-hmm. where we're at today than where we were at in 2021 even, you know. So I am a victim of layoffs in the gaming industry, so I'm, you know, like, so, you know, I get it, but I don't think it's all quite as like corporate greed, fuck the CEOs, as
well
we're making out to be. But there is definitely that as a part of the equation.
Yeah, I mean, I would say like it's poor planning, because they should have hired people on as like, I mean, maybe they did, but like hired them on as like contractors or something. Be like, hey, like, you have a 2-year contract or 1-year contract, and as long as we keep making money, we'll keep you on. But the minute that it goes back down, which is a common practice, but
it's kind of what they did, though, is it not? You know,
well, I don't
know.
They just
fired them when they didn't need them anymore.
I guess they basically did. It's just sad to see. Yeah.
I mean, everybody in California is basically a contractor because we're all at-will employees and can be fired at any time for any reason. So,
yay.
I don't know if your opinion is correct, but I know that the at-will is correct.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying, like, I could fucking sneeze on my boss and they could fire me and there's really nothing I could do about it. Like, the only recourse you have is if you could actually prove discrimination, and that's a different story. But
you can sue for wrongful termination, but it's kind of a hard thing to sue for.
But you can't unless like you can prove discrimination, actually prove it. Like, mm-hmm, that's the wrongful termination, as if either they're lying to fire you, like, oh, you were on drugs and you failed a drug test and you didn't, and you could prove that. That's different. But for anything else, mm-hmm, like, hey, like, you know, like, you sit at your desk weird. It's like, okay, well, we don't like.
I don't know how we got down this rabbit hole after talking about GTA 6. We have yet to talk about it. But so I'm gonna put us back on track.
Bring it back.
Bring it home. So GTA 6, I think it will affect the industry, and I think the reason is just because GTA 5 and Rockstar Games just historically have been very grand and very large. So it's going to sell gangbusters regardless of if it comes out with some criticism. And I think a lot of the thing that I kind of want to discuss, the thing that I think is the most I think that we can contribute as our opinion, is that, like, okay, what is GTA Online going to become? Because I think what they're going to do is they're going to come out with GTA 6. The single player campaign is going to come out like it always does, and it's going to be awesome. It's going to be long. It's going to be a huge map, you know, all the things that they're showing. And I don't think anything is going to surprise us there. I think that's going to sell very, very, very well. But they kind of turned GTA 5's online into like this like live service thing that I don't think they expected to live this long. And they tried to do it
a long time.
It's still going. It's still going very, very strongly.
It was more than 10 years, right?
Like, yeah. It's been in like the top 5 best-selling games every like month for the last like 10 years. That's how big this game is.
I got to ask, have you guys ever enjoyed the GTA 5 online experience? I've never found a way to enjoy it.
No.
Okay.
It came, but you got to imagine, it's a 2013 game that they had like repatched over and over and over again with new content. So they tried to shoehorn all this content into it. They added like some kind of card system where you could do heists. And then they added
but like, it was always like, I always felt like I was either getting clowned on by the wealthiest, most powerful people, I was like trying to queue up for something I didn't even want to do, like drive the cars around this custom track. And I'm like, no, I just wanted to do like the heisting and the buying of the nice apartments and stuff. Like, I don't know. And maybe I'm just like totally ignorant and I was playing it wrong. But one thing to note is, like, think about the RPG or the role-playing stuff that has come out of GTA 5. So that whole community, I wonder if they're just, like, waiting for GTA 6 so they can mod everything into that.
Maybe, because this one, it's not going to come to PC immediately. None of the Rockstar's games do. They go to Xbox and PlayStation first. And the PC version is, the role-playing version is a heavily modded version on the PC. So it's going to be a long time before they can, one, get it on PC, and then two, be able to mod it in a way that they want. So, I mean, they'll probably try anyways, like on PlayStation and Xbox, but without any of these mods. But honestly, that's part of the, that's something I'd find interesting is what if, you know, GTA 6 comes out and they thought about that and they're like, hey, we have this whole like role play mode.
They probably did. Honestly, I would hope so. I mean, maybe I'm just being idealistic, but what's the server called too that everyone role plays on?
The famous one.
I can't
one.
Remember, but either way, NoPixel? Is it NoPixel?
That sounds right.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Either way, it's so like it's become such a hit thing, and obviously it's like super impressive. If you've never seen this, go online and look up, Alex will confirm, but I think it's called the server's called NoPixel, and all of the biggest streamers go on this, and it's a heavily regulated role playing server. But like, I mean, it's hilarious. Like, if you've ever seen, like, I can't remember the guy's name, but there's this really popular big white fat cop guy who's played by, you know, a streamer, and he runs around in his like Texan accent arresting people, and like it's really funny. And like he pulled someone over one time, and everyone's real, like everyone's a real person. He pulls someone over and they have this like super silly stupid conversation, and like he like interrogates him over nothing, and you know, ends up leaving, and he's like, oh, that was XQC, okay, cool, you know. Like, yeah. I'm like, wow, that's really, it's kind of funny, like he just pulled over some random person who was, you know, it was,
or
this
people
other
like,
streamer
work as like a cook in like McDonald's or something, you know, like, and they'll go back to their little apartment and then, you know, go do that.
It's
whole
really
thing.
Cool.
So I'm interested to see how they integrate that, or what a new GTA Online looks like. And honestly, I think if it were me, if I was the lead developer or whatever designer of the game, I would separate it out. And because first off, I don't think GTA Online is going to come with GTA 6 off the bat. They usually don't. But thinking about that, I actually wouldn't be surprised if it was a separate game. If they came out and one of the
like Red Dead Redemption.
That was part of Red Dead. It was a patch. But
it was still a separate game you could buy.
It had microtransactions, but it was part of Red Dead Redemption 2. I wouldn't be surprised if you bought GTA 6, whatever they're calling it.
The story.
Yeah. And just that. And then GTA Online comes out, and it's a $70 game. Yeah. Standalone. And
no way.
I see you saying no, but Rockstar, one of the, like, the CEO or something like that said, I think that video games should cost relative to their development. And he's like, I think that is like, what if GTA came out and it was $100? If he thinks that, there's no way he's going to leave the money on the table from GTA Online. I mean, they microtransact. They obviously aren't afraid.
More likely where GTA 6 is available and then GTA Online is a separate subscription as part of the game. Like, it's $10 a month or $15 a month to do GTA Online.
That would be bold.
I mean,
I could see that if it was like a full,
you know, like,
no, but it's just that subscription model isn't as popular anymore for games specifically. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, yes, WoW is a great example. Like, but like a lot of games just went free to play with some kind of microtransaction, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's because that was before microtransactions, and WoW was just lucky that it could do both. Because it's just kind of grandfathered into that subscription.
Well, also provides a lot of support, like with their game masters and things like that. That's kind of the justification for the subscription.
Well,
but
back in the day, it was harder to justify because there wasn't as frequent of these like live updates. Like nowadays, I feel like totally justified paying $15 a month for like a game like World of Warcraft, because I know every 2 weeks, like I'm gonna get a patch. Like I can see what they are actively working on. You know, back in the day, it kind of just felt like I'm talking like early 2000s when I didn't have $15 a month to give them. It felt like such a hit. You're just like, oh my God, I have to pay $15 a month. What are you doing for me? You know, but nowadays I don't feel like that. It's yeah. Like, oh, okay. Patching and updates and, you know, these things.
Yeah, Netflix, I mean, they got to maintain
World of Warcraft.
Yeah. But but it's not for every game, right? And nowadays, like, it's not a very popular model. Like, besides World of Warcraft, like you said, was kind of grandfathered into it. Name a single, like, game that you have to pay a subscription to right now.
I can't. Yeah, but I'm just saying, I can see it happening. Especially if GTA Online is going to be long-time live service. It would make more sense to have it be subscription than upfront 70 because, they'll get that large amount upfront. But then that money is probably going to get dedicated.
But they're still
going to
microtransaction you.
They could do DLCs, just big like $50 DLCs, and do them every couple of months. Something. You know what I mean?
I see it as them dropping, making you drop $70, but still having microtransaction, and they're like whatever GTA bucks in the game. Like, I don't think they're going to steer away from that. I don't think the $70 price tag is going to get rid of that. Now,
if it
comes out, it's like
subscription. You're still going to have microtransactions too. Like, the subscription is based on support and development. The microtransactions is like a separate thing. That's just like making money.
I don't see a subscription. I can see them doing like a battle pass thing, which I don't love either. But like doing like that, like a battle pass or some kind of episodes or whatever, just like DLC drops. I see that as much more likely than a monthly cost. I don't, especially because
comparison actually. It's like instead of subscriptions, we kind of went to like a battle pass because it's a you can choose to pay, you know. So you have a little bit, you feel like you have more control over your money spent,
right? But I think that you can't pay a subscription monthly if they don't have persistent servers, and I don't see them rolling this out with persistent servers unless it comes out as its own standalone game. I think that it's going to be the same where it's like peer to peer. Now, where there's like a host and every, you know, one player.
I just don't think we have enough information about the game right now. I mean, a lot of this is just like total guesses. Like, I'm super excited about the game, but I there's no trailers, right? Or no, there's that
one trailer.
There's the one trailer, right? I remember now. But yeah, like that's, you know what I mean? Like, we really know really little. This is all just conjecture for the most part.
Yeah. Well, I think this is a good time then to let's go and move on. We do have a few questions in our pixelatedrealms.org/ask. So let's chip away at these a little bit. So we got three questions, all from Ralph. thank you, Ralph. We'll probably have him on the show. I've been trying to get him on the show, and he's been very resistant. But when Ghost of Tsushima 2 comes out, there's no way I'm not getting him on the show because he's like a ghost legend. Like, literally, I'm not saying that as in like the game mode. But he's like one of the top 0.001% of like the online players. So we got to get him on. But here's his question. With the announcement of Ghost of Tsushima coming to Steam in May, how do you think Sucker Punch will support this game given they have not had an update on the PlayStation for 2 years now? As of right now, only the main game is being ported to Steam, but given Legends, which is the multiplayer mode, was such a huge success, do you...
Nope.
Oh, what do you think, Alex?
I agree. I mean, I do think Legends is going to come over to Steam. If they're bringing the main game, I would be very surprised if they didn't bring Legends over as well. Do I think there's going to be new content? I think at best, maybe like a new armor or some new color schemings in this.
The director's cut's gonna have new armor and stuff too. So, in terms of like story driven content, like I don't, it's not gonna happen.
Yeah,
they're not gonna pull a Project Red and just create like a DLC that's like 80 hours.
Well, it already has a DLC, the Ichi Island DLC. So I think they're focusing a lot on the second game. I think they're focusing on the sequel. I don't think they're going to waste any time on like major content drops other than like the director's cut. Because to me, like when you get to like the director's cut level, that kind of tells me the game's done, right? Because you don't make a director's cut, which is the everything, right? It's kind of like the complete edition if you're going to make more stuff.
Yeah,
right.
Totally. That's how I feel about Legends, though. Like, I just don't see them like putting the game on Steam. I mean, okay, two things here. One, if you put the game on Steam, I could say from both sides of the argument, it'd be kind of weird not to have Legends because it's not the full game without it. But I tried to play Legends a couple months ago, and I couldn't find a match on PlayStation, you know. And so, how many people who jump in on Steam are actually going to play Legends? Because the game's pretty old now. And is it worth the amount of, like, resources it will take from Sucker Punch to maintain online servers, different shit like that, get them up and loaded? Like, is crossplay going to be a thing? And then you have to manage that bullshit. Like, is the juice worth the squeeze for them to put that in the game? Or is this really just an opportunity to get Steam players interested in the franchise so that when Ghost 2 comes out, maybe they transition over and get a PlayStation and pick it up?
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a great question, and I think you're spot on. I think that's exactly what it is.
Cool.
All right, I got another two questions. So Netflix confirming season 2 and 3 of the live action Avatar The Last Airbender. How would you feel about them creating a game? There have been a few games in the past, yes, but they were poorly developed and created with the technological capabilities of the time. With technology advancements and the most amazing utilizing...
I have played several of the Avatar games, and Ralph is absolutely correct. They are all crap. I mean, like, like grade A crap. And it's funny too, because I still played some of them for several hours. Like, there was this old one on like the Nickelodeon website that, like, you know, it'd be like, go to the Nickelodeon website, ask your parents for permission, and like you could go and play it. And like the idea of it is just so fun because you would choose your element and, you know, go to battle. But I genuinely do not believe anyone can create the game that we want. I'm just going to say it now. I have no faith that Avatar The Last Airbender will ever become a good playable game. Like, you might get someone who, like, you might get a PAL world, like a derivative of Avatar, where maybe it has some cool bending stuff and, like, you know, that's fun. But I never see that IP making its way to the light of day as far as video games. Unfortunately, like, the way Nintendo has handled that IP in general has been really, really disappointing as a fan of the series. You know, things like really little things have just gone, like, really underappreciated. Like, it's, for example, the score to Avatar The Last Airbender is an incredible score, yet they wouldn't even, like, credit they credited like Nickelodeon music team or something for it. And so the IP has just always been kind of treated like a second class citizen in the Nickelodeon world, which is super apparent by the M. Night Shyamalan film. Apparently, nope, they just handed that IP out and said, have fun, do it, destroy it any way you like, you know.
Gotta get me started.
And so, unfortunately, Ralph, I do not think we're ever going to get a great game of Avatar The Last Airbender. That being said, I really enjoyed the live action, and after rewatching a lot of the cartoon, anyone who says that it doesn't hold up, you need to rewatch the cartoon, because it's pretty... There's some serious, like, shot-for-shot stuff in that live action, so
yeah, I gotta give them a lot of props for that. And it was, like, very, like, shot-to-shot. It was, like, a side-by-side.
The Korra fight?
Or I think it was, I don't know. I don't watch the series.
No, you mean, you don't mix
it
up.
It was like a fight. In the snow area. It's like a snow area, and like they're fighting.
Yeah, you're talking
like,
about Katara. The main girl. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, there was a lot of like really, really close shot for shot stuff. And there was a lot of scenes, and I know we're talking about film now, but there's like scenes where I was like, I don't think that's how it went. And then I watched the episode and I was like, nope, I forgot. I was wrong. Like, they were right.
I don't see the live action being the reason they create a new game. I think they're going to create new games for Avatar. I think it's just too popular of an IP for them to let that go. I kind of agree. I mean, I don't fully agree with you, Tyler. Like, I don't think it'll ever, like for never, ever get a good game. I think maybe there's a chance. I don't think it's soon, though. I think a cool idea would be if they did, like, some kind of MMO world or some kind of co-op thing, like some multiplayer-based thing where you could, like, you could make your own character. I think that would probably be pretty popular because it's really hard to go, like, one for one with the Avatar show because the show is just too damn perfect. It's so good. And if you're trying to make a one-for-one recreation of that, you're going to have a tough time. Yeah. So they would need to have it as like, hey, you're just some earthbender or whatever. Like, this is 100 years then, after or something.
What's the story then? You know, I don't know. It's just a new one. It seems they gave the IP to Smite, guys. There's Smite avatar skins. Like, they don't care about this IP.
No.
See, though, what you say, like, what would the story would be, and I've seen so many people talk about, like, I would love an MMO One Piece. You know, where, like, you just are in the One Piece universe, but, like, you are your own pirate and, like, you're, like, very Sea of Thieves-y.
I've explored the idea in my head a million times.
You can do the same thing with Avatar, you know, like, you're in that universe, like, you're an airbender, you know, like, create your own story.
Yeah. It could happen. I just don't have faith in Nintendo to put it in the right hands, unfortunately.
Yeah.
I actually think it's the best chance for it to be successful. Because I agree with Alex
Nickelodeon, thank you.
Yeah, I agree with Alex, though, that, like, I think it's going to be very difficult to create a game that, following the original story, that is ever going to, like, actually make people happy.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. It's always going to be, like, half the crowd. So I'm like, fuck this game! So...
I just don't think there's ever going to be a good enough game. I don't know. That's just me.
I don't know. You could be surprised. Well, let's move on to the last question, and then we'll wrap it up. It says, hi, Ralph again. With the teaser trailer for Far Cry TV series, what are your thoughts on so many games being brought to life on either the big screen or the small screen? The Last of Us success, as well as the Mario movie, it seems more and more games are being turned into movies or TV shows. Halo has a TV series and just started their second season. What are your thoughts on all of these games being turned into movies/TV shows?
Wait, did you say Far Cry or Fallout?
Is there
Far Cry Fallout? Because I don't think Far Cry has a TV show, does it?
Yeah, there's a TV series.
What?
But I don't see any trailers, so I think he meant Fallout.
Wow. Yeah, because I was Far Cry? That's news to me.
No, he could. It says, Far Cry has the Blood Dragon thing on Netflix. Yeah, I think he means Fallout. But
yeah,
I think they're just going to get better and better because they realize there's money to be made, so there's going to be passion projects and some money. So I think we're looking in a positive place as far as video game films go.
Yeah, and I'm like 50-50. Like, I like to see it, but I also never expect them to be good. So I like want them to be good, but we've had I really hope. But
more
Fallout
recently,
is
we've
good.
Had a lot more successes.
Yeah, true. Like, The Last of Us TV show, although The Last of Us has an incredible story. That goes a long way, but the TV show was still incredible. I mean, incredible.
I mean, he's bringing up Borderlands, the new Borderlands movie, Fallout, the Uncharted movie, which I didn't think was awful. Could have been better, though.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. Like,
it was fine. I think I actually don't mind Tom Holland. I know we're like now kind of, but I don't mind Tom Holland, but Mark Wahlberg.
But, I don't think people would have had much of a problem with it if we hadn't seen the fucking made video with
Nathan Fillion.
Yeah, with Nathan Fillion. Whereas
it's like just cast the best guy to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so, but then Mario, but then if you look like 10 years ago, you know, like even like the Assassin's Creed movie, I didn't like do that well. Even
it was one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
When Michael Fassbender was cast, I was like, oh, this is going to be dope. And then it was horrible. And the Dragon Ball movie's horrible. So,
I want my money back.
They've all been very bad. But I think in the last two or three years, everything that's been video game adopted, or at least the majority of it, has actually turned out pretty well.
Yeah.
Or at least watchable.
I don't know. I didn't really like the Halo show.
It was not great, in my opinion.
I kind of want to quote this, but I don't remember if it's true or not. So if it's not true, I'm sorry. But I kind of remember reading something where the writer was like, we want to make it our own story, so we're not going to follow the Halo story at all. And those kind of people don't deserve to have these IPs because it's we want to.
I know. Those things are always taken out of context, though. It's always something that's screw the original book, and then that's plastered on the wall. But it was screw the original book's
portrayal
seven or something. You know what I mean? It's always slightly out of context.
Yeah, that's true.
But I also didn't enjoy it. The Halo TV series.
I mean, the show was bad. It's bad. I'm surprised.
They say that season two is supposed to feel a lot more like Halo, supposedly. From what I heard.
You know what? Master Chief doesn't feel like Master Chief, and that's the only thing that matters. If all the rest of it is good. I mean, the film quality is good. Like, the world building is cool.
The CGI was pretty wacky in the first couple episodes.
I only watched the like first few, but the guy that plays Master Chief, he's just too human. He takes the like, helmet off 1,000 times. He's just but military. And
I can't believe they have him take his helmet off. Like it's just kind of like weird. That was the one thing, man. That's like that's Master Chief's thing.
What they should have done is so crystal clear to me that I'm just just amazed that they didn't do it. Is they should have made the main character not Master Chief. Just another Spartan, or maybe even just a trooper, but have them a character who happens to be like near Master Chief.
Interacting or something.
Did you guys see the series on Netflix? I think it was where like they're at like the training facility, and then they get attacked. At the very end, like Master Chief shows up and fucking saves the day. And when the Master Chief shows up, and you get the first shot of him, it's like holy shit.
You're like, yeah,
he's here,
you know?
Yeah.
He should be used sparingly, so for sure.
Yeah. It's like when Darth Vader walked down the hallway in Rogue One, and you're like, fuck, so this is great. What he deserves.
Yeah.
This is what he deserves. But, you know, when you treat Shivers. Master Chief like a piece of shit, it's like, no, like, you're so right. Like, that show, or movie, or whatever it was, I forgot, was great. Because it's like, yeah, there was, like, they're, like, seeing these, like, clips, and there's, like, you see, like, a foot of Master Chief, and you're like, they're like, whoa, what the fuck was that? Like, that guy was, like, super tough. And that's what they should have done with this. But, or gone full John Wick. Like, either, you gotta pick one or the other. But, I don't know if we
either
really...
way. Either way, the point was, the question was about games being adapted to TV. And for the most part, looks like we're on a really strong uptrend in that department.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'll end on that because I don't know if we fully answered the question or not. But let's end on that note and say thank you, everybody, for listening. Don't forget to follow or subscribe to be notified when we post new episodes. We post new episodes every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.